Well, as I was preparing for Mass and showed the adult servers the length of my notes, Peyton said, Father, that's going to be pushing it. So, fair warning. Fair warning. It's a great joy to have these two little saints that just walked in the door with us at the altar. So glad to have so many young men and young girls willing to serve at the altar of our Lord. It's a sign of your family's commitment to the faith that these children are even here, and a sign of their desire to love Christ and to serve Him. There's good news about marriage and family, dear brothers and sisters. Overwhelmingly, we live in a state, and I'm going to say very specific words, a state that supports the biblical definition of marriage. Overwhelmingly, we live in a state that uphold laws that support the autonomy of the family. We abide by the rule of subsidiarity, to let families have autonomous rule over how they conduct themselves. Overwhelmingly, the families in Northeast Texas are pro-life, and more families are practicing natural family planning in accord with God's will for family planning. So we have much to rejoice about. The rate of divorce in Northeast Texas is relatively low compared to our national average. This church marries roughly 40 to 50 couples a year, which is significant that sacramental marriages, not just marriages in the court, but sacramental marriages are taking place in this church. And if you haven't noticed, people are having babies. There's 25 of them in the first four rows. And most of them are carnies. Now, there's also some bad news about marriage and family, as we're all very well aware. Nearly 40% of all American children are raised in a single-parent household. Nearly 50% of couples will divorce in the first 5 years of their marriage. And there is a current crop of legislation in our nation that is seeking to redefine marriage in secular terms as a financial contract with benefits, having no regard for the person or their overall actual well-being, and in fact minimizing each person to a financial entity. There's plenty more I could talk about today that saddens me and should sadden all of us about the state of marriage and family in our country. But instead, I'd like to focus on three elements with which I hope your family will imitate more excitedly Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family of Nazareth. I will give you fair warning. This homily is going to be very didactic. If you have a smartphone, you may want to take notes, because point will follow upon point, and we'll go back to the end and summarize all that was said. It's very didactic, and it's also going to be very matter-of-fact. Y'all know me well enough to know that I don't usually use too many allusions to get to the point. But I hope, more than anything, it will inspire each of you to reflect on the state of your own family, the state of your marriage, and to think about how you can serve God and neighbor by more faithfully living out your dedication in marriage and family. First, we look at the element of honor present in the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children, and a mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Honor your mother and your father. It's the fourth commandment. Most of you kids will basically readily say, yes, I probably disobey my mom and dad in every confession. And most of you adult kids will still say the same thing. I disobey my mom and my dad. It may sound a little different, but you're still doing the same basic thing. You're not listening to their advice. You're not adhering to their desires for you. And ultimately, as I tell the kids, really your mom and dad are your best friends. They may not always seem like it, and they don't need to be your best friends. They need to be your mom and dad. But they have your well-being at heart, more so than anybody else, more so than any friend, more so than any family member, more so than any video game or distraction or solace you can find. Family, particularly mothers and fathers, are there for you through thick and thin. Our cultural theme that is present that dissuades us from honoring our mother and father does this. It rejects our elders. And there's many of you in here who would be considered elders. Is it not the case that we reject our elders? We try to find a way to kind of nicely and politely get rid of them, or see that we don't really have to bother ourselves with being concerned about them. We have a culture that rejects tradition, always looking for a new trend. What's trending on Yahoo and Instagram and Facebook? Always looking for the next best thing, rejecting that which has preceded it. We live in a culture that somehow or another knows better. Always. My generation knows better than your generation. And so on and so forth down the line. So what happens? Here's three examples of what happens when we live in a culture that throws tradition away, that throws its elders to the curb. We abandon our faith. We abandon our faith. 40% of adults between the age of 18 and 39 do not identify with being religious. That's just being religious. That's not even saying I'm Catholic or I'm Baptist or I'm Muslim or I'm Jewish. I just don't want to identify with anything that has to do with God. There's a certain lack of patriotism. Yes, I'm going to talk about America and patriotism. It doesn't make me some conspiracy theory Republican or Tea Party, but the lack of patriotism is pretty evident if you look out and look at our college campuses, if you look at people in their 20s and their 30s. Those who are serving our country that are 20 and 30 love America, but many of us who didn't do that have this idea that we need to reject whatever preceded us, big America, big government, big blah, blah, blah. Support for your country. You're blessed. We're blessed to live in this country. But we want to reject anything that preceded us. So we want to redefine and make America in our own image. And thirdly, this need for something new. When we live in a culture that constantly rejects and does not honor that which has preceded us, we're always going to be thirsting for something new. And that something new may not satisfy us. So what do? We go deeper and deeper into perversion, deeper and deeper into things that actually distract us from God and His love. Honor simply means to pay reverence. It doesn't mean that you have to constantly be on bended knee saying, "Mom, Dad, I want to serve you and only you." We do that for God. But we do need to pay reverence to our parents. For those of you who are in the latter stages of life, and I don't mean you're dying, I mean those of you who have retired and may be caring for a parent who is dying. Caring for the elderly, caring for your parents, having them in your home, maybe that's going to mean a 3-generation home, is a sign of honor and respect. Not relying on strangers to care for your mom and dad, not relying on the government to care for your mom and dad, but for you to exert the energy and make the sacrifices necessary to care for the mother and father who weaned you from birth and trained you in the faith. That is a sign of honor. Remember, you pooped, you cried, and you ate for probably 3 years without giving anything back to them. That's real. Yes, they experienced love because they knew you, but you weren't giving to them. So think about how you can give back to them in a very real and substantial way. And stop relying on Medicaid and Medicare to care for the people that you should love the most. Parents, this is for you young people. Your mother wants to talk to you. My mom, who is here, wants to talk to me at least twice a week. And I do. And yes, sometimes I want to get off the phone as soon as I say, "Hi, Mom." But, because I love her, I'm going to let that go on. That conversation needs to carry on. She doesn't really want to come over here and feed me and bathe me and tuck me in. She just wants to know what I'm doing. And for you young kids, that's what your parents want to know. They're not snooping in on your lives. They're not trying to make your life difficult. They just want to know. Moms especially. Knowledge is power. And moms want that knowledge because they want that power. And that's okay. Dads, though they won't say it, just want your time. Spend time with your dad. Again, my dad is here. He worked his butt off. But he came home after 12 hours of being hot and miserable in a fire retardant suit in a steel mill in East Texas and played baseball with me. And I broke his shoulder and I broke his glasses and I gave him black eyes, but he was there to spend time with me. And I was there to spend time with him. And now we play golf, and I beat him all the time. But I do spend time with him, because that's what dads want. They want our time. It's not hard. So to you kids, today, I'm going to challenge you. Spend a little extra time with your dad today. Tell your mom what's going on. Even if you're five, your mom wants to know what's going on in that crazy little head of yours. Remember, your parents deserve your honor. And you children, please work to honor them and understand them and let them understand you. The second theme I'd like to talk about is respect in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. This great reading, which is sometimes read at weddings, speaks of heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Love, compassion, forgiveness. These are elements that have to be present in a family. If they're not, what happens to that family? What happens when a mother and a father no longer love each other or act like they love each other? They're constantly competing. And they're ready and willing to say something to destroy the other one, even in front of their own kids, because it becomes a game of one-upsmanship. Who looks better in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of my children? That's not loving your spouse. Compassion. Having compassion for your son, who doesn't really excel at sports, and that's okay. He's a great reader. He's a great thinker. He loves math. He loves books. It's okay that he doesn't fit your desires, but you have to love him and be compassionate towards his sensibilities. Forgiveness. How often it is that we don't see forgiveness in our own families for days, weeks, months, years, decades. How many of you begrudge your sister or its brother from 30 years ago from something that they did that they probably didn't even know that they did to hurt your feelings? You've got to be willing to forgive one another. What's the opposite of this love, compassion, and forgiveness? Intolerance. A mother and a father who can't stand to be around each other. And they'll let you know about it, even though they're still married. Selfishness and one-upsmanship. There's no compassion. It's just about me and what I want to do. Not listening. That's a big one. We don't listen to each other. And so what happens? Moms and dads, I'm asking you, when you don't listen to your spouse, what example are you setting to your children? So you're getting mad at your daughter who won't do what you say, yet every time your husband asks you to do something, you say, again? So your daughter imitates that exact example. I know all of you moms in here have probably seen your daughter do that. Remember, you're setting an example to your children in the way you love one another or choose not to listen to one another. St. Paul talks about the bitterness that comes about. It says, wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid bitterness towards them. Bitterness in marriage creeps in when we start stopping, when we start to stop noticing our spouse. We're bitter towards them because of what they get to do and what I don't get to do. We're bitter towards them because they know how to show affection for one of our children differently than I do. This bitterness doesn't need to exist. We need to overcome it. We need to look at one another in the eye and say, I'm sorry, to be willing to admit our faults. And forgive us. Forgiveness is what we pray for every day when we pray the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our homes need to be models of forgiveness and love towards one another. And I want to speak to you women very directly. I hear a lot of confessions, and many of you admit that you hold hardness in your hearts. Men don't struggle with this quite as much. Now, don't get me wrong, some men do struggle quite a bit with forgiveness, but most of the time, women struggle and will admit they struggle more often with forgiveness. Why? That's a mystery, much like women. But the fact is many of you hold on because your memories are associated with everything else. Men have waffle brains, women have spaghetti brains. It's a popular image. Everything for a lady's brain runs together. For men, our brains, compartment, compartment, compartment. So you did wrong to me. Well, I can put that aside and still work with you, no problem. Women, it's all mixed in. And so we have to be able to forgive and forget. As men do, so do women. To give up on that grudge. Don't let that bitterness darken your heart. Don't let that bitterness keep distance between you and your loved ones. Chastity is a sign of respect. Respecting each other means that you're going to look at each other with the eyes of God in your relationships. And men, and I don't need to use the word, you all know what it is, but there's something that's occupying a lot of our time. 75 to 80% of all men struggle with looking at illicit material on the internet on a monthly basis. That's real. Those are the facts. We have to pray for one another. We have to be willing to admit in our vulnerability. We struggle with that, and we have to be willing to seek help, first and foremost through prayer. And be willing to tell our wives, "Wives, I need help with this. I need help because I want to love you and respect you the way you should be loved and respected." And for you young men, to stay away from that culture that idolizes women in a way that is not real, that subjects women to their physical appearance, and that's it. That's not real respect. That's not real chastity. Ladies, you may not fall as often into that category, but one thing that does happen is you don't have any chastity in your intimacy. You let everybody be as involved with you in an intimate, emotional manner as your husband. That's not fair. It's not fair to your husband to be that open with your heart towards other men. It's not that fair to be open with your heart towards your girlfriends. Your husband deserves to be the one to whom you confide in the most. So don't cheat on him with a lack of emotional chastity. Set good examples to your sons and daughters. At the end of the day, men, I'm going to pick on you a little bit more because I'm a man, and I know the impact of our actions on our children. But set examples to your sons and daughters of the men and women you'd like them to be. Don't settle for a lack of respect. Don't settle for a lack of love or compassion. Be people of love and compassion and forgiveness in your own marriages. Finally, I want to turn towards traditional gender roles. As a sign of respect, you're a woman and you're a man. And I will respect each of you as woman and as man. You're human persons, so you have fundamental dignity that I will respect you regardless of your race, color, or creed. But God has created us in His image and likeness and created us distinctly for a reason. And so we need to be able to respect men and women and the roles that flow naturally, literally from their very DNA, from the way they were made and created in God's image and likeness. Men need to be women, men, and women need to be women. In other words, don't look at each other and say, "I'd like you to be more like me, and I'd like you to be more like me." We live in a culture in which gender identities really being blurred because we don't want to fall into those traditional models. Well, it's natural that men are going to do things better than women sometimes, and women will definitely do things better than men sometimes. And it's okay to admit that, acknowledge that, and embrace that. In a culture of relativism and false feminism, we need real men. We need real women who act in accord with how they were created and love one another in accord with that creation. And finally, I want to turn towards the men, very specifically, as we reflect on the gospel. Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus Christ, man of righteousness, man of no words, absolutely no words. Think of that. How many men listen to their wives? How many men listen to their children? Most of us are formulating a thought and a rebuttal as soon as our wives and our children open their lips. We're not listening. We're thinking, how can I beat them? How can I show them that I'm better than they are? The silence of Saint Joseph is profound. That example of silence. His selflessness. He abandons the comfort of his home. He abandons the comfort of his job for his wife and his child. His child who's not even his. His child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And yet, because he is a selfless man and not a selfish man, he's able to uproot himself from home, family, and comfort to take that child and that mother into Egypt. That's heroic. That's real heroism. To say, it's not about me, it's about them. Joseph trained the child Jesus in the faith. We see this example in St. Paul's letter also, where the father is expected to be a leader in the faith, an instruction in the faith. This does not mean that the father is the only one responsible for the care of the faith in their children. Certainly, the wives have to be a great role model also. But here's the facts. 80% of children whose fathers don't go to church, 80% of children whose fathers don't read Scripture, 80% of children whose fathers don't pray, will not go to church as adults. Give your gift of the faith to your children. Even if it means making sacrifices, even if it means discomfort, when you're on vacation, go to church. When you've had a rough week, go to church. Again, my Baptist dad, who is not Catholic and worked like 70 hours a week, always made sure I went to Mass. It was a great example, even though he couldn't always be there. And so many of you can do that. That simple gift, singing hymns at church, showing your children that you'll recite the creed with everybody else, not keeping your mouth closed out of embarrassment, but being able to say in your faith, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Finally, men need to be more decisive. Stop being afraid to be men. We're created to be decision makers. That's kind of how God envisioned us. It's something that we're good at, generally. I have two sisters and a mother. If I want to know where to go to eat, I'm going to ask my dad and not them, because they may have a collective round table for 15 minutes. Now, I'm picking. Nicole's pretty good at saying that's what we're doing. But men need to be decisive. Don't be afraid to assert authority. The example I would use is with your daughters and modesty. Your daughter wants you to tell her to change her clothes. She really does. She wants a dad that loves her enough and has the courage enough to say, "Honey, I don't want you attracting the kind of men that those clothes are going to attract." Or the example of going to church. Again, just saying, "You know, honey, I love you. I know you're a 22-year-old kid and you're kind of having your, you know, experience of the world, blah, 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 but you're going to church. Because I'm still paying for your school, I'm still paying for your car, I'm still paying for your cell phone, and you can respect and honor your mother and I by coming to church with us." She wants you to want her to go to church. And don't forget, guys, you're going to die. And most of you will die in obscurity, without fanfare. There will not be a great procession around the city. There will be not horns and trumpet blasts. Many of you will die in a bed, hopefully while you're sleeping. But make sure you did these two things as men who are married. You died every day to yourself to get your wife to heaven. That's your first responsibility as a married man, to get your wife to heaven. And secondly, you set your sons up and daughters, your sons and daughters up for the best opportunity to be in heaven themselves. That's your priority. God, wife, children. Your job is your fourth priority, maybe even your fifth priority. So put those priorities in place. Why? Because we want to be a culture of life and love. America desperately needs it. This parish, though filled with so many good families, desperately needs the good examples of the Holy Family, of holy families here. We need family prayer to be leading mothers and wives, mothers and fathers to be leading their children in prayer. We need more families to practice NFP, to support the gift of life. I make no bones about it. Contraception is one of the reasons so many families are in disarray, because they have let the lie of contraception be part of their marriage their entire lives. They don't know one another physically. They don't know one another intimately. They've let that lie interrupt their whole lives as a married couple. And finally, we need to be more supportive of the biblical view of marriage. This doesn't mean you have to be writing hateful blog posts and Facebook updates, but it does mean that when people attack Catholics for supporting men and women as being the definition of marriage given by God in Genesis and in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, that we're willing to say, "I love the LGBT community as much as the next person, and I will support their rights. But marriage is a right between a man and a woman as defined by God and given to man and woman." That doesn't make you a bigot. It doesn't make you a hypocrite. It doesn't make you unchristian. In fact, it makes you more Christian, because you're willing to stand up for what Christ has been willing to say and the church, his bride, has said for 2,000 years. We come before the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and ask them to pray for us, to stop allowing us to point our fingers and say, "You know, the world would be better if, the world would be better if more families did X, Y, and Z. Be that family. Be not afraid to be that family, to be that husband and wife, to be that mother and father, to be those children who support God, because God will support you and your family. Let us praise the Lord and give Him thanks.